Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for May 6, 2014. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Also this half hour, we'll get the latest from KNAS state offices on planted progress of corn and soybeans. In agricultural news, the OECD says the world economy recovery may slow in the near term after downgrading growth in China and the U.S. We'll have that and other stories. Also this half hour, Todd Gleason reports farmers may have a new weed to cope with this growing season. And Don Day will have agricultural weather. It's all on the Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Let's see how futures settled on this Tuesday afternoon. In Kansas City, May wheat settled at 8:43, up 4 1/4. Of course, that's out of Chicago, but it's a hard red winter. You knew what I was saying. July, 8:45 3/4, up 13 3/4. Soft May wheat, 7:31 3/4, up 10 1/2. July, 7:39, up 10. May corn, 5:13, up 9 3/4. July, 5:17 1/2, up 9 1/2. December, 5:09 1/2, up 9 1/2. May soybeans, 14:64, down 8. July, 14:59 1/2, down 3 3/4. November, 12:25 1/4, down 2 1/4. May soybean meal, 4:86.60. It was off $2.50. May soybean oil, 40.91, down 7 cents. And then here are some last trades over on the livestock side. June live cattle, 138.17 1/2, up 65. May feeder cattle, 183.35. They were up 70 at the moment. And May lean hogs, 115.82 1/2, and they are down 107 1/2. And those are Tuesday afternoon's settlements from Chicago.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Looking at meteorologist Drew Leonard's weather highlights, he says that warming is expected in the U.S. Midwest Wednesday, with continued very warm conditions likely in the eastern Midwest Thursday. Highs will be in the 70s and 80s from Nebraska and Kansas to Ohio and Kentucky, with a few extremes near and above 90 degrees. Thursday's highs may breach 80 as far north as the southern Great Lakes region. Warmer temperatures in the middle and lower U.S. Midwest the next 2 days will raise soil temperatures and stimulate faster crop development rates and quicker seed germination conditions. The upper U.S. Midwest will warm briefly Wednesday and Thursday, with minor changes expected again through the early part of next week. Daily highs in the 60s are expected often. The U.S. Midwest will see increasing rain frequencies across the north during the balance of this week and early into next week. The lower U.S. Midwest will be dry until Thursday and Friday, when showers and thunderstorms evolve and move from west to east across the region, delaying fieldwork briefly. And a follow-up disturbance in the U.S. Midwest next week will produce additional showers and thunderstorms prior to trending much cooler. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Dave. What a beautiful day outside today.
Oh, it is just lovely. Did you get outside at all? Lunchtime, maybe? Just a bit?
I haven't been out since about 7 o'clock this morning, but I can look out the window and see it's just beautiful.
Well, we'll try to get you out of here as quick as we can so you can enjoy the rest of the afternoon. Looked to me like it was quite the race. I'm not sure which commodity won between hard red winter wheat and soft wheat and corn, but they were racing along to the upside.
They sure were, Dave. I think that, of course, you know, we got the weather, we got the political activity in Ukraine, and everything, you know, pushing this wheat and the crop rains, of course, being under a lot of pressure and seeing them decrease. And the weather forecast you gave us basically said it's going to be hard not to see worse crop rains again next week with as bad as things got here. So, you know, that's going to be quite the ordeal. So I think, you know, the way the corn came back after its early sell-off, just, you know, well, that was quite impressive too.
That was very impressive. And now December's all teed up if conditions in the marketplace would allow for an assault on 517, please.
You know, depending on what we see going on here, the way that we came back today, it was a very positive close, sort of a you know, hook reversal back up that way, and basically just saying that there's a little strength out here and a little concern about that the northwest area of the Corn Belt getting planted. It'll be the extra acres to make the difference into raising the carryout for next year.
Is there any short covering going on ahead of Friday, too, or no?
You know, I can't say for sure if there was, but I would think there would probably have been some profit taking, you know, as we dip below $5 on some of the D's corn here today, as far as that goes. Also, there was one news item that came out that they canceled a lot of the deliverable corn receipts in Burns Harbor, which was, you sort of had to wonder why that happened, unless there was some exporter that maybe sold some of that into the export market to go out on the lakes.
Turn our attention to soybeans, and that was one of the few commodities ending up in red today.
Well, you know, as we look at the beans, we continue to hear of more and more cargoes coming north from Brazil into the U.S. We also hear about more beans flowing in from Canada along the way, and, you know, our cash base is nowhere near what it was last year at this time. And, of course, China continuing to basically back away from any further purchases and maybe taking a few shipments. But, you know, as we looked the last week, we saw negative sales actually because of cancellations that along the way. So a little weakness yet in the bean market there that way. But, boy, it sure came back and didn't close too bad when you see how we looked for the majority of the day, you know, with July beans only down 4 cents and then the November's just down 2 3/4. So a lot off the low because they were pulled back up by the wheat and corn also.
Yeah, and in fact, soybean meal, and if you looked at the May, 488.70. And so, yeah, it did come from 489. Was 10 was the previous price. So, yeah, it has come back a bit.
Yeah.
So I guess the question is for producers who are thinking about that next increment of marketing, what are your particulars on that? Where is a good value for producers maybe thinking to do their next marketing move?
Well, you keep talking about, you know, those old places we popped up to in the corn and that basically 517, 518 area that way. There's a lot of advisory firms out there saying 520 to 524 should be the next place to sell some corn. You know, we're doing it anywhere from 15 to 24, I think, up there, depending on whether how aggressive you want to be and how much you've already got on. You know, as we look here at the November beans, 1224 and 3/4, basically today here, we sold some last week. The guys that didn't get sold, we sold some in 1248. We're looking anywhere from, you know, 1238 on up to the 1252. So we'll be in that range where we'll be, depending on how aggressive you want to get, we'll be putting another increment of beans on there.
Do you think November beans have $13 in them somewhere?
Do I? Without weather, I don't think we do, but, boy, there's a lot of weather between now and then. As to see what's going on in the world. But I really don't think so. And then part of that comes in my feeling because there's the rumors abounded today that the Chinese are going to start weekly auctions again the last half of May, and might even include some corn and sugar in those auctions.
Well, that would be very, very interesting indeed. Turn your attention to the livestock side, please.
You know, the cattle continue to amaze us on how high they can go. And, you know, we saw a little profit taking in the hogs today. But the livestock as a whole is going to remain a very strong industry over there because just a really good demand, and we're short of meat.
The feeder cattle is amazing. And the thing about it is cash is still above the market at 183.20, if you can believe that.
Yeah, 183.20. Isn't that about a dollar more than what we were used to quoting?
That's right. Yeah. A dollar more than what we're used to quoting. It is truly an amazing thing.
You know, it's just amazing. So, you know, like I say, I just think that the meat industry is going to stay very strong through the summer here. I think we're looking into a very big grilling season. You know, it's just going to be very good, and our exports continue to go extremely well.
I know you love how to put a good steak on the Barbie, but I'm going to be putting some chicken on, too.
Well, chicken is going to win out, I think, in a lot of households, but for special occasions, we still like our beef and pork.
Thank you very much, Wayne.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and he is in New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, a leading international organization is warning that the global economy will grow by less than expected this year after it cut forecasts for the United States and China. The Paris-based Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development today projects that the global economy will grow by 3.4% this year, down from its forecast of 3.6% growth last November. The OECD, a think tank of the world's most developed countries, blamed slower growth in large developing economies like China for the downgrade. It cut China's growth forecast this year to 7.4% from 8.2% in November. Meanwhile, the U.S. economy is forecast to grow 2.6% this year, against last November's 2.9% estimate. The OECD's largest forecast downgrade was reserved for Russia and now expects the economy to grow 0.5% in 2014, having forecast an expansion of 2.3% in November. A Senate panel this week could propose a long-term highway and transportation measure that would also rescue the Highway Trust Fund that currently is in danger of running short of cash to meet highway building and repair project obligations this summer. However, it is expected that the Senate plan is unlikely to match the four-year $302 billion proposal unveiled last week by the U.S. Department of Transportation. The Senate plan would fund highway, bridge, and transit programs at current levels, plus inflation. A new report from the Federal National Climate Assessment projects that climate change's assorted harms are expected to become increasingly disruptive across the nation throughout this century and beyond. The report says climate change has moved firmly into the present. Corn producers in Iowa, oyster growers in Washington State, and maple syrup producers in Vermont are all observing climate-related changes that are outside of recent experience. The report looks at regional and state-level effects of global warming. Since January 2010, 43 of the lower 48 states have set at least one monthly record for heat. In the past 51 months, states have set 80 monthly records for heat, 33 records for being too wet, 12 for lack of rain, and just 3 for cold. Meanwhile, a new analysis of corn production in the American Midwest has determined that today's crop yields are more sensitive than ever to bad weather, and especially to drought conditions. The study, published in May's journal Science, says that researchers found that over time, crops have become more vulnerable to changes in VPD, which measures aridity, a key indicator of drought that is closely linked to extreme heat in the Midwest. The effects were much stronger for corn than for soybeans, a result that the authors believe may be tied to how densely corn is sown. The researchers predict that at current levels of temperature sensitivity, crops could lose 15% of their yield within 50 years, or as much as 30% if crops continue the trend of becoming more sensitive over time. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Monday afternoon, NAS released its latest crop progress report for the week ending May 5th. The numbers look like this: 29% of the corn crop is planted versus 19% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 42%. Corn emergence is 7% versus 3% last week, and the five-year average of 13%. 5% of soybeans are planted versus 3% last week, and the five-year average of 11%. 29% of winter wheat is headed versus 18% last week, and the five-year average of 35%. Winter wheat conditions look like this: good to excellent, 31%. That's down 2 percentage points from a week ago. Fair, 31%, and poor and very poor, 38%, up 4 percentage points from last week.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Illinois had cool and wet weather last week. Planting progress continued, but on a slower pace. Temperatures around the state averaged nearly 3 degrees below normal, and all districts were below average. Rainfall averaged 1.46 inches, 1/2 inch above normal for the week, and all districts had above normal rainfall. Corn planting progressed 11 points last week and stands at 43% complete. That compares to 6% 1 year ago and the five-year average of 41%. 8% of corn acres have emerged compared to 21% normally. Northern areas of the state are well behind planting progress for this time of year. Soybean planting advanced just 1 point last week and is now 3% complete. That compares to 7% for the five-year average. The winter wheat crop is now 2% heading compared to 26% normally. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Glenn Goodrich with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending May 4, 2014. Farmers tilled fields and planted crops as weather permitted this week. Some smaller operations in the north had completed corn planting by week's end and began planting soybeans. In the south, farmers were kept out of fields all week long due to high precipitation. Elsewhere in the state, farmers were deterred from planting by cooler-than-average soil temperatures. Some early planted corn was emerging, albeit slowly. Pasture and winter wheat were reported to be in fair or better condition, and progressing steadily but slowly as well. Some winter kill in wheat was confirmed in Lake and Newton counties. Other activities included the application of pesticides, herbicides, and fertilizer, as well as maintenance of fence rows and tile. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending May 4th, 2014. This is Glenn Goodrich reporting.
This is Katie Andel, agricultural statistician for the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending May 4, 2014. Cool weather and persistent wet conditions hindered fieldwork in Iowa during the 0.9 days suitable for fieldwork. Statewide, planting progress advanced little during the week. 73% of the oats were planted, 16 percentage points behind the normal pace, and 38% of the oat acreage has already emerged. Corn planting reached 23% complete by the end of the week, 9 days ahead of last year, but still 10 days behind the normal pace of 50%. Corn started to emerge, and there were scattered reports of soybean planting. melting. Temperatures for the week averaged 5.7 degrees below normal. A slow-moving storm system brought rain across Iowa from Saturday the 26th to Thursday, May 1st. Total rain for the week varied from 0.55 inches near Rock Rapids to 4.42 inches at Bondurant. Average precipitation for the week was 1.64 inches, 0.66 inches above normal. This was the third consecutive week with above average precipitation. Topsoil and subsoil moisture levels improved to 86 and 58% adequate to surplus, respectively. Northwest Iowa remained the driest, with over one-third of the topsoil in very short or short condition. This is Katie Andel reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending May 4, 2014. Cool and wet conditions continued to delay spring planting during the week. Precipitation was widespread and above normal for many counties. There were 0.9 days rated suitable for field work. Statewide, April was the sixth consecutive month with cooler than normal mean temperatures. Widespread precip allowed topsoil and subsoil moisture levels to continue to improve. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 0% very short, 1% short, 62% adequate, and 37% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies were rated 0% very short, 10% short, 72% adequate, and 18% surplus. Very few acres were planted in Minnesota last week. 8% of the corn crop has been planted, which is 2 weeks behind normal. Spring wheat planting was 4% complete, that's 41 percentage points behind the 5-year average. 2% of barley crop has been planted, that's 41% behind the 5-year average. Oats planted was 12% complete. Sugar beets planted was 2% complete, with 44 percentage points behind average. Southwestern Minnesota continues to be the only area of the state where farmers are making progress. Pasture conditions were rated 3% very poor, 6% poor, 51% fair, 39% good, and 1% excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Illinois farmers and others across the central part of the Midwest are facing a new weed problem. Todd Gleason reports that it is really important to control the water hemp look-alike before it grows larger than 4 inches in size.
Recently, the Weed Science Program at the University of Illinois published recommendations for the management of Palmer amaranth in the state. One particular recommendation emphasizes the need for timely application of foliar-applied herbicides. In particular, foliar-applied herbicides must be applied before Palmer amaranth plants are taller than 4 inches. Most weed management practitioners are very familiar with the growth rates of water hemp and many other weed species, but perhaps are less familiar, thanks to University of Illinois weed scientist Aaron Hager, with the growth rate of Palmer amaranth. To that end, Cody Evans, a weed science graduate student at the U of I, has done some greenhouse work to compare how quickly the two weeds grow. This was not a replicated experiment, but simply a demonstration of the relative growth rate differences between these two species. Both species emerged on the same day, and the plants were photographed every other day for a month. As the photograph illustrates, and you can see these on the Bulletin website, Palmer amaranth plants reached a 4-inch height less than 10 days after emergence. It grows not quite twice as fast as water hemp. The growth rate comparison is illustrated under greenhouse conditions, but experience suggests a similar growth rate of Palmer amaranth in fields. It means timely applications of foliar-applied herbicides will require vigilant scouting throughout a large portion of the growing season if the Palmer amaranth is to be kept from spreading. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
It's National Crepe Suzette Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1833, Illinois blacksmith John Deere developed the first cast steel plow. Deere's plow was made of wrought iron and had a steel share that could cut through sticky soil without clogging. Deere's first steel plow sale was to a local farmer named Lewis Crandall. It wasn't long, though, before the plow was in huge demand. By 1855, John Deere's factory was selling over 10,000 steel plows a year. The steel plow made Deere a millionaire. In 1851, John Gorey patented an ice-making machine, the first U.S. patent for a mechanical refrigerator.
Although the mechanism produced ice in quantities, leakage and irregular performance sometimes impaired its operation. Gorey is considered by many the father of refrigeration and air conditioning. And in 1898, Daniel Gerber of baby food fame was born. But it was actually his wife, Dorothy, that was the genius behind prepared baby food. In 1927, she encouraged her husband to hand strain solid food for her 7-month-old daughter, Sally. After several evenings, Dorothy suggested to her husband that the work could easily be accomplished at the Gerber family's Fremont Canning Company. The rest is history. A year later, in 1928, strained peas, prunes, carrots, spinach, and beef vegetable soup were ready for the national market. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
Well, it looks like planters are going full till, but I think over the next few days we're going to begin to shut down west to east, aren't we?
Yeah, and I tell you, what you want to do is take advantage of stretches of weather like we've got now, because the pattern that we've had for, well, most of the winter is continuing here in the spring, where anytime we get a warm-up, it's going to be followed by a big cool-down and likely some wet weather. That's exactly what's going to be happening again. So take advantage of these warm days. But as we get to the weekend, especially as we get into as early as Friday and Saturday, showers and thunderstorms and cooler weather will cover most of the Corn Belt. That's going to be followed by another system, dare I say one that at the moment looks colder. By the middle to the end of next week, that will bring us temperatures below normal and wide swaths of showers and thunderstorms across many areas.
Okay, so the key area that traders are paying most attention to is Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota, because their planning was so, so far behind. When you think about what you just told me, what do you think planting progress will be in 2 weeks?
About at the speed of a very fast slug, unfortunately.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be hard. You know, the situation is such that with these two systems coming through, they'll be cold and they're going to be wet, and they're going to put enough precipitation down that it's going to take a couple, 3 days to get things dried out. So for at least here, another 10 to 14, maybe 15 days. So we're talking not until maybe between the 15th and the 20th of this month do we see anything that resembles anything that might be an early summer-like pattern. Until then, it's going to be tough.
What will you look for to know that the pattern of summer-like weather is arriving?
Some erosion of the very stubborn pattern we've had for months now, and that is a big area of high pressure along the west coast of Canada and up into the Gulf of Alaska, which is making it very easy for systems to bring in cold and precipitation in from the north and west, and that's a pattern that is going to be stubborn for at least another week or two.
Well, there's been quite a bit of talk about El Nino coming this summer. What is your take?
Well, yeah, it really looks like it. I do think from what we're seeing that it will be a moderate, let's say a weak to moderate, maybe leaning towards the moderate side of strength, which is going to bode very well. Good news for California, the southern plains. Those areas which are suffering the worst dryness right now are likely going to see some help, but it's going to be a slow process. It really may not be until the end of the dry season for California before they get into it, but I do see relief coming the rest of this month and into June for some of the southern plains, Oklahoma, Kansas, portions of eastern Texas. The I-35 corridor, I think, is going to see some help.
Thank you very much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to subscribe to our free Ag e-newsletter. You can do that at willag.org. Use the link in the right navigation window. This is Dave Dickey.